This is episode 429, recorded March 3rd, 2017. Packard pokes at Just Kissed a Pope. I want to thank C. Walker from the chat room for this week's show title.
What time is it? It's Packard pokes at time. Hat? Check. Shirt? Check. Pants? Optional. Mug? Double check. Check us out at cafepress.com/PackardPokesAt where you can get all this great merchandise and more.
Do you like Packard Pokes At and want to hear it on demand and on the go? Download the free app today at Stitcher.com. Available on iOS, Android, Nook, and iPad.
This is Packard Pokes At, and I'm poking at your news.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another fine edition of Packard Pokes At. I am your immutable and unmutable host, Packard Sonic. And joining me tonight from the far west coast is Connie, Practical Magic 9.
I'm so glad it's an election year because we'll finally be rid of this awful Trump presidency. What? It's not?
No, it's not.
But the good news is the campaigning's already started.
Yeah. He hasn't stopped campaigning. Why is campaigning?
That's his favorite part.
True.
Join us from the south of me, from the ill that is Illinois, is Tom, your friendly neighborhood atheist.
That'll be me.
You betcha. Yeah, Trump is still out there campaigning on the trail. Like, this is a victory lap or something. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me, but I'm a rational.
He wants more applause and more selling deals, but doesn't want to close them.
Yeah, but I'm a more rational human being, so what you know, whatever.
Rational has no place in politics.
Yeah. Disney has been accused of a lot of things in the past, you know, putting subliminal messages in videos like
The Lion King. The Lion King, sex up in the sky.
Yes. The word sex was in the sky, or when after he went to lay down, the word sex popped up or something like that. Or in other videos that they've had, they've been accused of all this shit. And most of all of it is not true. It's not a true, but they have.
Some of it is true.
Some of it might be true. Some of it might be true, but a good portion of it is.
Those animators were dirty, dirty boys.
Well, there was hidden.
Bored.
Some of them, yeah. Got in there. I'm surprised.
Some not so hidden, yeah.
I'm surprised a lot of it, as much of it did make the cut, you know. A while back, there was a movie called Frozen, and everybody kept saying, oh, this is a lesbian thing, and I saw bits and pieces of it myself. I didn't see any lesbian action going on.
I've seen it about 20 times, and no, there's no lesbians in it.
And they're sisters.
Yeah, exactly.
Real quick, the thing that everybody was talking about was when the sister Anna, I've only ever watched it twice, Anna and the guy who hangs out with the reindeer, which actually might have been something they should have talked about, they stop at some little shop with a sauna. And the owner of the shop points into the sauna and says, that's my family in there. And you see like three little kids and a young adult male. And so the scuttlebutt about that is that the shop owner and that the young man inside of the sauna are partners. And nobody's, but I'm like, okay, that works for me.
Well, like when he was on the sleigh and the riding and he's complaining, I forget what his name is. Hans, or maybe that was the bad guy.
But
you're gonna marry this guy and you know nothing about him? You don't even know his shoe size. And she says, oh, shoe size doesn't matter. Not something the kids would have caught on to, but the folks did.
Yeah, there's some adult humor in these cartoons that go above the heads of the kids. And the reason why we're talking about this tonight is
why are you talking about it?
Yeah, that's a good question. Why am I talking about it? Is because apparently they are going to be doing a first male-to-male kiss on air. I mean, it's going to be in the show Stars versus the Forces of Evil. Apparently, Star Butterfly, one of the characters, is crushed when her boy BFF, Marco, smooches another girl. Apparently, they're not so nonchalant about it. that's almost unnoticeable. The scene was the first ever Disney cartoon that includes same-sex kissed. In fact, there are two of them. In one episode, Direction Esquire, Boyd launches into a rendition of their song, Just Friends. The 14-year-old star Marco, who are, of course, just friends themselves, are now rocking out. Suddenly, Star notices, and she and Marco are surrounded by kissing couples. Among them are a gay couple and a lesbian one. Apparently, this is getting big news. I'm waiting for the religious nuts to start going, see, look at how immoral Disney is.
Well, Disney always knows what side its wallet is buttered on.
Absolutely.
For a long time, they've had a, I don't know what they call it, but they've had a day where Disneyland and maybe Disney World are open to gay couples. It's very, you know, rainbow promotion. And I'd say they're very inclusive for all of the, you know, the kind of overlord press that Disney tends to get. I'm like, no, I think this is really awesome. So I'm excited about it, but you're right. I'm curious what the temperature of our country is. With a lot of parents who say, yeah, they put Disney on, you know, on the radio, but they have it, they can let their kids go see a Disney movie and not worry.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on that, Tom?
Well, they did it in a very subtle way. And I think they did in a very good way where they just kind of pan over kissing couples. And then there's two guys kissing. And then they pan into a crowd scene, and up in the corner, there's two girls kissing.
Yeah.
And they don't really point out, they don't make a, you know, make a big deal out of it. They make it seem perfectly normal, which it is, you know, perfectly normal.
Which yeah. It is. Yes.
Yeah, kissing other human beings. That's mm-hmm. how we express our affection.
Yeah.
This is great graphic. Or it's a picture, actually. It's like an x-ray of two people kissing. You can't tell if the...
Oh, yeah, like the commercial?
No, it's not a commercial.
There's a commercial of people walking behind a screen where you only see their skeleton. You know, it's like an extra machine.
Yes.
And a bunch of different couples. And they're same sex. They're different religions. They're different nationalities.
Mm-hmm.
Just basically saying that, you know, love is blind. Because
I don't watch
that's a beautiful commercial.
I don't watch a TV. So I don't watch a TV. I don't watch
I don't know if it was on TV. It was an internet commercial.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like I say that, well, they play a lot of things on the internet that you can find it.
I don't watch TV either.
I have things to block commercial ads, so I don't see things like that.
Well, this was like a special one. I think somebody linked it to me, so it wasn't a pop-up commercial. It was like when I actually went to look for.
Yeah,
it wasn't so much a commercial. I mean, it was a commercial, but it was one of those like long ones that were a storytelling commercial rather than a snippet commercial.
Yeah, Torva in the chat room. Thank you, Trevor, for joining us tonight. He says he's always hated Disney, regardless of whatever the content is. So, hey, that's your right.
I used to refuse to support Disney in any way. If I wanted to go see a Disney movie, and since it's the theater, I would buy a ticket for one movie and then go see the Disney movie. I'd still buy my ticket, just not for the...
I think they just do that for counting numbers of who's seen the movie.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I want to make sure the theater got its money, but I didn't want Disney to get credit for it.
It's just statistics at that point.
I don't want to be statistic.
Well, I like Disney. I love Pixar, and
Pixar. I love Pixar before Disney bought them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I guess I don't see it that way. I mean, I go by individual things, and I'm appreciative of how. Like you said, how normal this is, how normal, quote unquote, it is. I'm like, yes, because guess what? You know, parents might be upset, but this next generation are the ones who I see their minds are really open and they just go, oh, that's just normal. Oh, okay. You know, yeah. I love that. I feel very glad that my grandkids, for the most part, are accepting of that too. You know, they just go, oh, well, okay.
Yeah,
people will have a stink about it. We'll have to see. Maybe it won't be. But
I'm waiting for the religious nuts to come out. I mean, look at what they did just with the Teletubbies. They kept saying one particular one was gay, and it's like, how can you even say that?
It didn't take that off the air.
Just so bizarre.
I know.
It was like Falwell or one of those guys that were, oh, this guy, they're trying to.
He's carrying a purse. Kids.
Yeah.
Well, I think
they don't know Streisand, right? He had a triangle.
Yeah. Because they all had a symbol on their heads, and they interpreted his as being gay.
Yeah. How does a triangle make you gay?
I forget why. I think it was somehow connected with the gay movement at the time, but I don't remember. I don't remember how.
It's a physical shape. It can't be a gay.
It's just a shape. Yeah. Well, you know, Streisand effect. Go ahead and let them rail against it. And everybody say, what are you talking about?
It doesn't matter anyway, because gay is natural throughout the animal kingdom. And we are part of that animal kingdom. So being gay is natural. Being against it and being a bigot against being gay, that's unnatural. There's this thing on this planet called fossils. We can figure out how old they are by doing different tests on them. And the world's oldest microfossils have just been found not that long ago, or so they claim anyway. The fossils have appeared to be at least 3.77 billion years old. So, yeah, that young Earth theory of 6,000 years, total trash. If they prove to have biological origins, they could be the oldest microfossils ever found. The discovery compromises of tiny filaments and tubes formed by bacteria that live on iron, according to a statement released this last Wednesday by the University College of London. They were found in quartz layers in the, holy crap, word is this, Nouveau Quebec, I can't even say this word, supercrustal belt in Quebec, Canada, which contains some of the Earth's oldest known sedimentary rocks. Our discovery supports the idea that life emerged from hot seafloor vents shortly after the planet Earth formed, said Matthew Dodd, a researcher of UCL, Earth Sciences and London Center for Nanotechnology, and a report's authors. Now, the oldest previously was found in Western Australia back in 2013, dated to around 3.4 billion years ago. But questions have been raised over credibility of those findings. Some was what suggested is that the fossils could have been formed by biological or non-biological, such as temperature or pressure changes in the rocks over millions of years. The team of international scientists working in Canada says the discovery has a clear signs of being biological in origin, which includes minerals found in biological matter, including bones and teeth, according from another statement from UCL. Comments?
Just another clue to what, how abiogenesis? I hate that word.
Abiogenesis.
just.
I don't know how it plays, but I know the word, yeah.
It's just another clue. We have these preconceived notions of how life began, and we keep finding out that we're wrong, which is what I love about science, is we adapt what we know by what we find out. You know, we think we know one thing, we find out something new. Like, oh, we were wrong. Okay, now we know something different.
Right.
Unlike religion, who thinks that they know everything and sticks to that no matter what.
Yeah.
So exactly. I think it's pretty cool, and I find it very interesting that this kind of staggered, you know, we thought that all life needed to have oxygen and sunlight in order to form life, and then we find out that there's life in these deep sea vents, and this kind of goes along with that, that, you know, that's probably these kind of deep sea vents is where life originally started,
right?
Which gives me hope that there's life on other planets like Jupiter's moon Titan.
Yes.
With these deep sea oceans that we now realize that there's very probably, in fact I think that they know for sure now that if there's water, so if there's water, that there's probably deep sea vents,
because we have
a good chance there's life.
Yeah, because the deep sea vents here on our planet here, there is life down there. They've proven that there's life down there. There's literally no light whatsoever.
Yeah. Down there. They went down there and they were shocked. They thought it would be this desolate wasteland. And they come down, they see these, you know, these giant tube worms and starfish and all kinds of, you know, clams and shrimp. And they're like, what the hell? There's not supposed to be life down here.
Right.
And we adapt what we know by what we find.
Yeah, and you were saying that they were getting fed, literally fed by what was coming out of the vents that are coming from the heat from the vents and everything like that. It's actually quite, well, from what I understand, quite warm.
It was bacteria that fed off the, you know, the sulfur or whatever that came out of the vents.
Yeah.
And then
the iron.
The tiny animals ate the bacteria, and then the bigger animals ate the tiny animals. And so there was a whole food chain.
Yeah.
But it all started off with the chemicals that came out of the, you know, what normally we have life that gets its energy from the sun. This was life that was getting its energy from the chemicals in the vents.
Yeah.
The same kind of food chain.
But in a way, isn't it possible, I guess, if you think about it, that what happens on the surface could this be a part of a bigger chain? What's happening deep within the core of the earth? I mean, I don't know how that would have, I don't know that that would affect it, but I wonder that, I guess, because I'm not a scientist. Because darn it, what happens up here is so important. No. it's important to us, right? Well, isn't it really weird too to think about how many times basically the earth has reinvented itself? I mean, all of the different times that life has sprang up. It's amazing. And, you know, long after we're gone, long after human beings are gone, assuming that the sun doesn't burn out, you know, too soon, could the earth reinvent itself again?
That's
interesting.
That's what I love about evolution. It gives me hope.
Yeah. If all humankind disappeared tomorrow, like that, for whatever reason, the earth would repopulate itself again. It would just start.
Well, not just human. I mean, if this has happened before, where 90% of life on earth could disappear, and what little is left will start to populate all those niches.
Yeah.
And
we're here because the earth wanted plastic.
Thank you, George Carlin. Just somehow couldn't make plastic. Actually, we have a lot of minerals and materials today that never existed on Earth before.
Mm-hmm. They say that styrofoam, there's a specific variety of, I think it was mealworm, that actually eats styrofoam.
Oh, yes. A proof of modern day and evolution. Yes.
I heard it was a bacteria that did that, but you know, it might be a mealworm. I'm not really sure.
Well, that eats styrofoam.
It could
break down plastic.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But this mealworm apparently actually can eat styrofoam.
Wow. Yeah. I remember hearing about that a while back. It was like, wow.
When you think about it, it's carbon. So, I mean, there's, you know.
Right.
They eat trees. You know, it's you know.
Well, okay, it's a case of bacteria being advantageous, finding this source of something, you know, this combination of chemicals and whatever else it is, because again, I'm not a scientist, but, you know, and utilizes it, finding a way to utilize it. And like you said, you know, you just have this, this chain of things that create this thing that can eat it. Yeah. And really,
it's the bacteria in the gut of the mealworm that breaks it down to something that can be used as food.
Yeah. Life finds a way. Exactly.
Life finds a way. Yeah. Exactly. I wish I could do that like he does this. I love that character in Jurassic Park, Jeff Goldblum. Well, hey, there you go. Maybe we need to get this bacteria in our gut and then we could eat styrofoam.
No. I'll have a steak instead. Thank you.
The trouble is that every time you get a hot coffee in a styrofoam cup, you are eating styrofoam.
Thank you. Well, I'm glad I drink my coffee at home in my nice mug.
Yeah, like people who microwave their coffee that's in a styrofoam cup, they are literally forcing plastic into their coffee.
Oh. I don't do it that way. I have a mug that looks like this, which you can get at the Packard Pokesat store on cafepress.com. It has a nice little Packard Pokesat logo on there.
Do you have citation for that there, Tom? For the microwave and styrofoam and leeches?
I'm sure you could find it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you're lying. I'm just saying I would like to read it.
I full disclosure, this is something I found out like 10 years ago. I stopped drinking coffee in styrofoam cups.
Well, it's the big paper conglomerates who put out that thing about styrofoam.
I think I heard it on NPR.
Actually, Tom is not too far off the mark. From what I understand, like if they had a problem with BPH being in bottles.
That would cause
people to get more estrogen or something in their body somehow. So when the bottles would get heated or whatever.
Yes.
Because what happens in the microwave, it's superheating it, causing it to break down.
Right.
That makes sense. Then
where does it break down to? The closest liquid.
Oh, okay. Yeah, BPAs were in a lot of, for example, bottles that you nurse babies with and you know, cups that kids eat and drink out of. So, because they're so easy to clean.
Right.
That is interesting. I'm sorry.
I had to think about it.
Like, and scary.
It does.
Yeah.
While we are poking at your news, you can poke us at Facebook and Twitter. Or poke us with an email at ppapodcast@gmail.com. Or leave us a message at 662-709-PPAP. Join us live on YouTube/PackardPokesat on Friday nights at 9 p.m. Central Time. Be part of the conversation by live chatting with us during the show. Enjoy the show? Help support us by becoming a monthly patron at patreon.com/PackardPokeSet or look awesome by buying something at cafepress.com/PackardPokeSet. No money, no problem. You can help us by sharing the show with friends and rate us on iTunes and Stitcher. For everyone that shares and rates us, you kick ass.
The Atheists,
the Bible,
and No Wardrobe, the podcast.
Wait a minute. No wardrobe? You mean we're going to be naked while we do this?
Well, seeing how I'm an atheist and I'm reading the Bible, and since clothes are flammable...
Fire! Fire! Fire!
I thought it might be a good idea to take them all off first.
Naked or not, follow along as we read, analyze, and try to keep you from falling asleep as we go through this boring-ass book.
Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spreaker. Who knows? We may even be on YouTube someday. And be sure to check out our secondary podcast, The Atheist, the Bible, and No Wardrobe. A new episode dropped on Thursday and are dropping on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Actually, the show is on Stitcher and iTunes, but it's not on Spreaker anymore. I stopped posting there for a while back because it just like there's no traffic there. So and their policies are really horrible. So it's not on Spreaker any longer.
Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide. No escape from reality.
You know, when you go to the mall or some other places, they have they're like their own little cities. And they have, in these little cities, they have their own little police departments, as they were. They have security guards and whatnot. Now, this story is a little bit old, but we needed to talk about it because in Alabama, a church wanted to set up its own police force. Now, that doesn't smack of Sharia law at all. Now, this was requested by a Birmingham church to establish its own police force. They have an advantage through Public Safety Committee of Alabama legislature. Some lawmakers are concerned what they call a predominantly dangerous precedent. The Briarwood Presbyterian Church requested to establish its own police department in order to, quote, create a safer campus in a fallen world, unquote. This is no different than what the Muslims do with morality police who walk around and say, hey, you're doing a thing that we don't like because our religion says no. While it's not unusual for some universities to operate its own police force, it would be the first case of a church in Alabama granting permission by the legislature to do the same. Briarwood attorney Eric Johnson told local media that the police department would basically consist of one officer. Yeah, like that'll stay just at one person who is currently working with the church part-time to provide security. We've got over 30,000 events a year that take place in Briarwood. We're going all day, all night, at the school, at the church, and the seminary, Johnson told the Birmingham News. We have to hire policemen all the time. It would be much easier to hire someone on staff. No, you can hire a police department to, you know, to do your event, but you don't get to have your own police department. You're going to have your own little jail, too? Are you going to, like, put flames inside so you're going to send them to little hell? Kind of your thoughts.
Yeah, I'm sure it'd be easier for a lot of people if they just wanted to have their own police department. I'm sorry, is this somebody who's just on staff with the church or is on staff also with the police department? Isn't this with the separation of church and state? Of course, it's Alabama. Maybe it doesn't matter. And one guy, I don't know, if it's one of their parishioners, how bad is security? What level of security are they needing? Why do they need this level of security?
You're looking at it all wrong. This is just their way of saying, we don't actually believe that there's a God. Yeah. We need to be protected from the people who think there's a God.
Yeah, I was going to go there myself, actually. If you need a police department inside your church, you don't believe in a God. I'm sorry, you just don't.
You're afraid of people who believe in God.
They will conduct their own investigations. They will conduct their own security. They will make their own arrests. So it's one-stop shopping for your Sunday morning needs, I guess. I don't know.
And so instead of calling for the local law enforcement agency to take over the particular situation they're trying to control, they will do that themselves. They will utilize from their other law enforcement agencies is their lockup facilities. So, you know, the only that's what they're claiming. You know, it says, we'll just give you guys the bad guys or whoever's problem with it, and then you guys can lock them up then.
Well, because we don't actually feed and house the poor and hungry and the destitute.
The thing is here, though, they say it's just one guy, but I mean, if they've got all these events, by their own words, they say they have over 30,000 events a year, day and night.
What?
Yeah, that's what they said here. We've got over 30,000 events a year that take place in Briarwood. So they're just going to hire just one dude? That's what they said. They're just going to hire one guy.
One dude. I didn't realize the Presbyterian Church was that big down in Alabama.
Apparently it is.
It saddens me that churches don't recognize the message that they're sending out. It's like, just admit it. You don't think there's a God. This is a social club. This is a cult. If you need security, it's a cult.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Saddens me that they're parishioners, not the churches, but the people who go to the churches don't recognize this fact.
Yeah.
Yeah. I went to a church that is in downtown Tacoma ages ago, and we actually had to have somebody patrol the parking lot because it's a bad Hilltop Tacoma kind of had a reputation. I don't know if anybody else ever heard about it, but it was a high crime area, and we had some break-ins, you know, into cars in the parking lot. And so, you know, if you have somebody standing there, crimes of opportunity go down. But I look at this and I go, that's just messed up. That's just no.
I was driving my daughter back to college just this last year. And we ended up going a little off track because my GPS at the time wasn't working quite properly. So we went down this one way we had never gone down before. And we were passed right by the church, and they had a fenced-in area for where the cars were. People could drive in, and they could lock up the fences and everything. I was thinking, you people don't believe in God. You don't believe in a God.
Yeah. No, you guys are exactly right.
Yeah, I knew it was Milwaukee and everything, but I mean, if they thought that their God was real, why would they even think to bother locking their cars? Why would they need a fence around there? Because if they're holy and everything, their God should protect them and their stuff. Because when I was religious, I would go to the sermons and everything like that, and people would say, "Hey, God did this thing for me, and they protected my stuff." So why doesn't your God protect your stuff all the time? Is it incapable of doing so?
Well, and even Jesus said, you know, if somebody asks for your coat, you know, give them your shirt also. If somebody wants something that's in your car, you know, I don't know why that doesn't apply. I mean, I wouldn't want it to happen to me, but your gain is not down here on earth; it's in heaven.
Right.
And so, yeah, no.
If churches were honest, then everything would be there for the taking, because they're taking a pretty good cut out of their parishioners. All that should be free to go back to the parishioners, even if they're not parishioners. They're supposed to be servicing the people. Well, if the people feel the need to steal, then obviously they're not doing their job, so they should just give it up anyway.
Yeah, we have a comment from the chat room here. Torva says that maybe someone has hired a relative as an excuse to pay them.
Oh, you know what? And if he's hired by the church, is he also a pastor? And is this a tax? You know, I don't know. That's a big thing in churches right now. The janitor is a pastor, so he's on the church payroll, and so that's treated differently than just hiring a janitor. You know, you get different tax breaks. And
yeah, that's true. Everyone who looks at a church, no matter what their job, they're all considered pastors of some nature, so that they don't pay taxes.
Fishhead Salad, thank you for joining us in the chat room. He says, for the same reason that the Pope needs a bulletproof glass for his silly clown car. You know, when they brought out the original Pope Mobile, I was kind of hoping they would put like lottery balls in there, you know, like floating around in there with them, you know, and then someone off...
Reach off the top. And there it goes.
Bingo!
Yeah, I guess it says B79. Yeah, exactly.
Could it be? Could it be?
We've talked about how horrible religion is on this show quite a bit, and because of just the monstrous abuse overall some churches do, and the religion is mostly responsible for it, because these people follow this shit and they think that because they do, that's it's a good. Apparently Jane Whaley, age 77, who runs the Word of Faith Fellowship in Springdale, North Carolina, and with her husband Sam, stands accused in the AP investigative report of running a church like a sadistic dictator. And she kind of looks like Trump too. She's got the yellow hair and she looks kind of orange herself. The congregations, according to the AP's Mitch Weiss, were regularly punched, smacked, choked, slammed to the floor, or thrown through walls in a violent form of deliverance to purify sinners by beating out the devils. This is a big problem along with Christianity, especially with these people who say they're trying to get the devil out of you. They will attack you and they will beat you or whatever because they think this is a good thing to get the devil out. No, think about it for just a minute. Let's just put this into a logical perspective. Let's just say demons existed and it was inside somebody. Wouldn't it want you to harm the person that's inside to make its abuse?
Really? I say it's always been a good excuse for beating your kids.
Exactly. It's not beating somebody is not going to go, oh my gosh, I better get out of here because this person is beating me, beating the person I'm in. Oh my gosh. What is the logical disconnect there? As part of the investigation, the AP reviewed hundreds of pages of law enforcement, court, and child welfare documents, along with hours of conversations with Whaley. The AP spent more than a year tracking down dozens of former disciples who scattered after leaving the church. Many initially were reluctant to break their silence because they had hidden their past from new friends and colleagues because they remained afraid of her. Now, this is not the worst of it now, apparently. You know, we often talk about how these church members will sometimes do sexual abuse on their parishioners. She was also sexually abusing, apparently, the little kids there as well. Connie, your thoughts?
From what I read, she knew of a sexual abuse, and she tried to claim that she had no knowledge of it at the time. It was another one of the many pastors of the church. And this church, I'm not going to call it a cult because I kind of think that all religion is a cult. But this cult has its own compound. It's very sheltered. It's very separatist, which should be the biggest red flag right there. And most of this abuse, at least as according to the reports that I've seen, are on children, teenage and younger. There's cases of this fucking woman shaking babies that are crying in services. And most of the really big abuse appears to have happened to young boys who are locked away in some part of the compound in some kind of a dungeon thing where they have been, again, repeatedly beaten. There's a lot of abuse against young boys because obviously, you know, masturbation or whatever sexual disorientation that they feel is a sign of demonic possession. The only demon in this fucking church is this bitch, Wally. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry. I'd never heard of her before. If you go to the church's website, which I unfortunately did, but I did for the show, and they have this huge disclaimer, this huge letter saying, don't believe anything you see because they're persecuting us. Of course they are. Of course they are. It's disgusting to a point of, I want to throw this woman in a pit and let her just sit down there and then drag her out and throw her against a wall. And you know what? I'm sorry. I'm not a violent person. I'm really not a violent person, but I just don't understand this crap.
Yeah.
This isn't about Jesus. This is about her as a power trip. And
it's hard to tell if it's a power trip or if it's just she knows the best way to control people is by fear.
Right. Yes.
If you scare the hell out of people by abusing a few, you got everybody else under control.
I just want to clarify one thing here. I may have misspoke on that she had been doing it. Apparently, I misread that. Apparently, there was somebody who was molested by a male church leader.
But yes,
was
too thank you.
Scared. Okay. And he was saw the same leader improperly touch several other male teens living in the minister's house, but did not report those incidences for the same reason. According to the court records, the church leader was convicted in 1995 of molesting a 13-year-old girl placed in his home. Of that victim, Whaley said that on the 2012 recording, she was 13, but she looked 20. Oh, well, she looked 20. Oh, then she's not 13. She's 20, obviously.
Age
is just a number, I guess.
She's a temptress, and we have to,
Well, you know, 13-year-olds is okay with the Muslim, so.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So I hear.
Two former members said a 20-year-old woman was repeatedly smacked and punched by a church leader who blamed her late menstrual cycle on pregnancy when she hadn't ordained church permission to have a child. In one fact, the victim said she had never had sex with her husband. They only kissed once.
I think that's the other thing, too. I'm trying to remember now because I didn't write all this down, but I don't know if they arrange marriages, but it's just like, this is crazy stuff. This is
religion is all about control.
Yeah.
It is. It is. And again, you know, That's why they want. That's why they want the children. That's why they want every single religion. They want the children because that's how you get the next generation. Yeah.
It's much easier to get them when they're born rather than convert them when they're older.
Right. The real Paul Marshall says one of six churches within 3 miles of me has a protected by ADT sign out front.
The thing is, they all have lightning. What do we call it?
Lightning rods. Lightning rods in the
Yeah, the conversation of God is real. It was over the moment that churches put lightning rods on top of their churches there.
If God wants to burn your church down and you're inside of it, he wants to purify you.
Exactly. Right? Fish Head said, beating out the devil. That is exactly why I started masturbating. And I found out how good it felt to beat it out year over year.
Oh, Fish Head.
Year after year, sorry.
See, the biggest problem with religion, though, is the people who believe have created this mental prison. And in this prison, they think they are the guards. So they are protecting the prison that they are prisoners of because they believe they are the guards of it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. This is one of the reasons why I fight against religion so
hard. In the Song of Solomon, I want to say that's where I found it. It was a verse that says, my sister is a tower, but if I found that she had a gate to her, I would guard the gate. And just saying that there was a weakness and found in a person, you know, within your congregation, with the person that you love and know, that you should guard that so that the sin doesn't enter in. And that I thought, and now that I look back, that really encapsulates a lot within religion itself, whether you're talking about Christianity or not. You know, that's why you have this hive mentality.
This particular church also has members in several other countries, Brazil and Guyana. They have each over 2,000 members in each of those churches. So, I mean, the fact is we've talked about those churches like over in those countries where they're like their one pastor was trying to get his congregation, or actually made his congregation eat grass, drink gas.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah. And doing a bunch of other stupid shit because the fact is it's like, I've made this gasoline taste like cherry wine. You're supposed to just drink it because God has made it possible for me to do a thing. And those people end up getting sick or died.
People won't buy the cure if they don't think they're sick.
Yeah. This is just so, so disgusting. Now, this particular group was founded back in 1979 by Whaley, a petite former math teacher with a thick Southern accent, and her husband, Sam, who used to be I'm not making this up. Used to be a used car salesman.
See, the perfect thing about religion is when they pull this shit and tell somebody drink gasoline or eat grass and the people get sick, like, well, you didn't believe hard enough. You weren't a true believer. No. You didn't have enough faith. That's why you got sick, because you didn't have enough faith. It's your failure, not ours.
Exactly. That's how they play it. That's exactly how they play it.
I remember thinking that. I remember thinking that about myself.
Yeah. That's exactly how they play it, because they will make it sound like you're the one that's at fault. You didn't work. You didn't do the work to become, to believe hard enough. I'm going to go to a Bible quote for just a moment here that they couldn't stand against the other group. Oh, I can't remember the passage off the top of my head, but they couldn't stand against them because they had chariots made of iron. I had this conversation with somebody and they said, well, why couldn't they do it? They said, well, the reason why they couldn't, because they didn't believe hard enough. See, it's the same mentality. It's the same mentality. They didn't have faith enough to stand against the iron chariots. Well, that's bullshit, because iron chariots are made of iron and God is made of imagination.
Didn't God make the iron? let's hope that I'm sincerely hoping that this group goes down in literal flames. Sorry. I want to see this one prosecuted.
I was thinking the same thing. I hope this group goes down in flames. I hope they get prosecuted to the full extent of the law, and their congregations, all of them get broken up and just taken out. And of course, these cockroaches will pop up somewhere else.
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah. If they do get them taken down, and unfortunately, that's most likely not going to happen. But if it did, I would hope they would put a rule on them that they are not to engage or become start another cult anywhere else. But because of the religious rules that we have in this country, that they won't stop them from doing that shit.
A perfect example of how religion is successful is Peter Popoff.
Oh, yeah.
Someone who was outed as an outright sham artist. Yep. I mean, just completely debunked.
Mm-hmm.
He came back and he's just as successful with the same bullshit he was pulling before. And yep. people are still falling for it.
Yep.
Because they're so desperate to believe. They will buy anything. They will pay all their money just to convince themselves that they have enough faith.
Yeah.
The most successful preachers and mega pastors and everything, they really prey upon the people who have deep emotional, physical, and financial need, who are in the faith is
who are desperate like straits.
Exactly. And they just, they're vultures on that yeah. carcass. Yeah.
The people who are in the most need yeah. are the ones who get most preyed upon by religion.
Right. Oh, yeah. And in this case, it was the children. And I'm thinking that maybe not going after them for anything about their religion, but going after them for damages and child abuse and things like that, that might be the best way to shut this bitch down.
Yeah.
You know, but it's sad because it should be something else. She shouldn't be able to go somewhere else and sell this snake oil, but this bitch will do that.
Yep.
If she has the chance, you know,
let's just say that she is not permitted to do that. So let's just say they convicted her and said, don't do this thing. She could just go to another state somewhere else and just start up the whole process all over again.
As a martyr.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the Onion Radio News.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
I live in Wisconsin, and we have more bars here than we have churches, I think. We have a lot of bars. Lewis Black put it best. I don't know if we got the federal grant for drinking out here in Wisconsin, because you can get liquor pretty cheap.
The research on regrowing livers.
Yeah.
Is that some college in Wisconsin? What? Yeah,
one of the things here is, though, because people drink, they have a tendency to do stupid things. And sometimes they get behind the wheel of a car, which is not a good thing. If you're going to drink, have somebody else drive. There's your PSA. But if you do drink and you drive and you get pulled over, there are certain things you just do not do to try to prove that you are a sober. A 23-year-old woman in New Mexico was arrested on Friday on DWI charges after she kept doing cartwheels after the Albuquerque cops told her to stop. And it was all caught on camera. They discovered Byron Marshall passed out behind the wheel of a vehicle, matching the description that in the same area around 6:45 p.m. The sedan that was parked in a roadway and in
partially
in the roadway in a driveway in a trailer park, according to the department release. Marshall woke up when officers started speaking to her and asked her to get out of the vehicle. Officers said she seemed extremely intoxicated, kept stumbling and smelling of alcohol. She had a difficult time listening to officers' commands. All right, there. If she's 20-something years old, she's probably not listening to anybody anyway.
No. If it's not on Instagram, she's not paying attention.
Exactly. Well, according to when the DWI officer gave her instructions how to complete the standardized field sobriety test, or the SFTS, Marshall responded by doing cartwheels in front of the officer. I can do it. Hey, look at me. I'm not a drunk. I can do a flip. And if I can do a flip, that means I can drive. Apparently, I'm not a drunk.
I can't do cartwheels on a good day. Oh, bravo.
That's like,
I would have liked to see these cartwheels.
There's a page. GIF of
there'll
it.
There'll be a link here. There'll be a link
there's,
here.
Below.
We're like
GIF.
Flop wheels.
Yeah, I know.
Or
I
cart can't flops.
Yep. Can't stand on my head. this is impressive.
I can see it. She's laying on the ground going, could I stand on my head if I were drunk? Like, lady, you're lying down. No, I'm not. I'm on my head.
Let me do my uneven parallel bars routine for you.
Now, the video shows Marshall performing the cartwheels at least two times, failing to the ground at least once and giggling throughout the whole encounter. Her actions clearly frustrated the officer. The officer said to her, this is serious. This isn't a joke. This isn't ha-ha, he says on the video. I don't know why you're doing somersaults or cartwheels or whatever they are. And she replies back, yeah, me neither. I don't know why I'm doing this. Whee!
she needed donuts.
Apparently. When the officers asked her to open her mouth and she to show she was not chewing gum or food or candy that might be affecting her the accuracy with her breath test, she refused to comply with that request. She was charged with battery, aggravated DWI, and for an expired license plate. She was released from the detention center the next day. So, yeah. Don't do a cartwheel. That's not a there's a lot of videos. I've seen a lot of videos of people doing stupid things when they're drunk and they're having the DWI. There's this great one where this guy, he picks up the cone because of the check area. He picks up the cone, sticks it over his head, and starts dancing. Da, 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 da. I was like, dude, are you serious? There was even one that was at a police station. The guy tried, he's in the goddamn police station to get a breathalyzer. The cop steps out of the room. And as the guy to go get paperwork or something, the guy tries to get up to leave and he literally pushes his whole head right through the wall.
He was trying to sober up.
Yeah. He was trying to take the emergency exit. He was trying to, you know, try to do a Hogan's Heroes. He was trying to dig a tunnel with his head.
Hogan!
I think there's a common belief. If you get a police officer to laugh, you get off.
Yeah. I think that's a common misconception.
I blame Gabriel Iglesias. I worry because my one daughter, she loves Fluffy. And I'm like, daughter, please don't follow his advice. If you're ever pulled over, don't ask him if you smell donuts or something. I'm going to pick you up at a station one day, aren't I? Can I just say that I think that we need to have a bingo game when we have stories like this? Because I could fill in like three cards on this story. This is so funny. This is so funny. Battery, though. What did she didn't kick him in the face. Did she hit him?
I don't know. Maybe she did. Maybe she did when she was doing her cartwheel. She ended up kicking him or something accidentally.
He's just jealous because he can't do one.
Police are very sensitive about their personal space. I was listening to a story of a guy who was saying he got arrested because he was on a bicycle and the police stopped him for whatever reason and accused him of being drunk. He said, I'm not drunk. And he blew in the cop's face, which, of course, the cop didn't like. I mean, he wasn't drunk, but he got arrested because, you know, he blew in his face.
Oh,
so it doesn't take much to piss off a police officer.
No.
Unfortunately, too many people who have, you know, who were the hall monitors and who are just trying to be a big person. I won't say man, because there's women police officers, but oh, yeah. I think too many of them are locals, you know.
Were you born an asshole, or did you work it your whole life? Either way, it worked out fine.
Now there's a lot of things that people do that are really fucking stupid, and if you're at a benefit for cancer, this is not the place to be doing anything like that. A Houston musician is under fire for reportedly giving himself an enema during the performance and then emptying his bowels on stage. However, the artist tells the Huffington Post that this is a bunch of crap. He admits to getting the enema.
Well, shit.
Well, it is a bunch of crap.
Yeah, it is. Well, he admits to getting the enema, but he says the material that spewed on the stage was just a protein shake in a leaky bag.
Well, crap is mostly protein. And you have to shake, you are a leaky bag, so.
Yeah. A scatological scandal took place on Friday at the Avant-Garde during a cancer benefit for a local artist. One of the bands scheduled to perform was Sonic Rabbit Hole, a two-piece noise that includes elements of performance art. Getting an enema on stage is not a performance art, okay? It's just icky. Singer Michael Clemens said he and his partner, who has not been identified, decided the onstage enema would be a perfect statement against the venue where they've had issues in the past. Okay, if you've had issues with them in the past, you know what's going to happen? They're not going to invite you back if you decide to shit on their stage. It didn't have anything to do with a person with cancer, Clemens told the Huffington Post. It was a statement to the venue that you're not avant-garde, comments.
No. Just no. Oh, my God. Oh my God, no. I feel bad for the cancer patient. I really do, because this wasn't about their little vendetta against the owners. It's not avant-garde enough. Oh God, get your head up your out from up your ass, please. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm having flashbacks to college. Anyway, go ahead, Tom.
That's bizarre. That so she's on stage, just like, oh, that's not art. You think?
Yeah.
But art is subjective, Tom. It's subjective.
I love what you've done with this piece.
The avant-garde, the owner, Maria Lemisov, tells a different story. It was poop that covered the stage, not a protein shake. She goes, my bartender was throwing up behind the bar, she told the Huffington Post. Plus, it was in decent exposure. They made the performance art look bad. Lemisov went into more detail for the local station, KPRC. It was disgusting. It was a health hazard, she said. Everybody at that point was really shocked. Then he proceeded to defecate on the stage and splatter feces everywhere. Lemisov and her staff spent hours cleaning up after Clemens, and says that there was fecal matter covering the bathroom floor and spluttered against the wall. My staff stayed up and cleaned up the disgusting mess until 4 a.m, she told the Houston Press.
The picture of this mouth breather musician is pissing me off so much. And honestly, I really hope that they got samples and they determined what was in that bag, because This is. Well,
it shouldn't take more than a half a millisecond of smell to know it was in the bag.
Right.
Exactly. Well, exactly. But I'm just saying, you know,
I've smelled some nasty protein shakes, but none of them have smelled like little.
No.
They okay. Shitty, but not like shit.
Well, yeah. I can't make that determination. All I know is my son. There's a protein shake thing that son-in-law left here for my son to use, and my son left his shake plastic cup for a day, and I opened it and I just lost my cookies.
But I mean, so, it smells bad, but
not like
not
poop,
like
no.
literal no. shit.
But yeah. Still, it's still rude. It's still it. This is no. Please tell me that this fucktard with a band whose music probably does sound like shit is done. That's wrong.
Yeah.
Your little vendetta. You know, some poor guy with cancer. You know, it's like, oh my God. Poop might happen, but it doesn't need to happen on stage.
She said the venue was forced to close, which meant the fundraiser didn't make as much money as they intended. Apparently, this guy that they were trying to raise the money for has a GoFundMe. They have raised $1,285 toward their goals of $100,000. Clemens believe his performance actually helped raise money. No. More money for the charity than anyone expected, since the original total was $1,000. So because it went over by $200, oh, I helped.
Wait, is this the Streisand effect? Is this possibly, have we been trolled?
I don't know. Lemsoff confirmed the $1,000 goal to Huffington Post and says the GoFundMe page has raised more than that. But she said that people lost money in tips, sales of paintings, and other on-site art gallery, and time in cleaning up the mess. Despite his newfound notoriety, Clemens plans to bag similar performances. I'm not a one-trick pony, he said. You'll never see Michael Clemens with an enema bag again. That's just a sick. Keep your poo in the toilet. Don't be doing that on stage. That's not good.
No. Maybe we've all been played by this whole thing. Maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe the owner of the gallery and Clemens were in on it together.
Maybe. But I have a feeling that they weren't. I think he's just an idiot who's just doing something to make a statement, as he claimed that, you know, he didn't like the.
Well, but then the gallery owner is also an idiot, because if they have previous bad blood, why would you allow somebody into your gallery?
That's true. I mean, he might not have been. They might not have known that he was part of the band or whatever, since he was on stage or whatever. So
it's just a bunch of crap.
Yeah,
it's a bunch of crap, right?
It's a bunch of crap. Exactly.
Fuck the motherfucker, he's a tribal fucking fucker. Fuck the motherfucker, fuck the motherfucker, fucking fuck the
Fuck the motherfucker. And tonight, for our Pope on the Rope, we have our fifth Pope, Pope Benedict the Ninth, and he was a Pope from 1032 to 1048, continually shocked his most hardened cardinals by debauchery young boys later in place. Repenting of his sins, he actually abdicated to a monastery, only to change his mind and seize office again. He was a wretch who feasted on immoralities, wrote St. Peter Damian, a demon from hell in the disguise of a priest, which was wrote about him. Now, he had actually three terms as being Pope. I didn't know this was a thing. He was the Pope. He was the 145th Pope, 147th Pope, and 150th Pope. His first reign was from October 21st, 1032, to December 31st, 1044, which was for 12 years and 71 days. His second term didn't last very long. It was only for 52 days, from March 10th, 1045, to May 1st of 1045. But he was deposed later by the Council of Ceturi. His third term was in November 8th, 1047, to July 17th, 1048, 252 days. And he was finally deposed and completely excommunicated at that point. They gave him his walking papers and said, get the fuck out!
The beginnings of the church, the modern church, are so fucked up. Mm-hmm. No. No, just no. There's so many. I wasn't Catholic. I had so many kids. Usually when people found out how many children I've had, which I've given birth to eight and I have one stepson, and people say, you know, are you Catholic? Are you Mormon? Yeah. And I'm like, no, to neither, to both. I mean, this is so disgusting. I don't understand, except that, you know, the papacy was a political position, and you look at the history of the church, and it's a wonder, I guess, that Christianity got picked to be elevated to this position.
Exactly.
Installing political leaders and kings. Tom might have more to say.
At what stage did the popes stop being horrible, horrible people?
Yeah, I'm wondering that might.
Aren't we still waiting on that? Or?
Yeah, I'm wondering if that's has ever stopped. That we won't find out about this stuff till much, much later.
I mean, just if these are the pinnacle, if these are the closest to God
yes.
they can come up with.
Yeah,
I'm speechless. It's just. You look back at the history of all the religious, you know, leaders. They've always been horrible people. I mean, there's like even the ones they call saints. I mean, there's very few that were even remotely decent people. I mean, one of the highest people is Mother Teresa, who was like a horrid person.
Yes.
I mean, but there's people who believe this shit are just so blind. Like, oh, they're doing God's work. They're doing God's will. God's got a plan. You just don't understand it. I understand it. It's fucked up.
I'm going to lock the screen down for just a moment so everybody can get a look at this guy. I mean, he doesn't look very remarkable at all. I mean, and the fact is, if you look at this, his picture there, his eyes, he kind of looks kind of, you know,
his eyes are too far apart.
Yeah, his eyes are way too far apart. I don't know if that's just the way they drew him or he actually looked like this exactly, but
I think they were farther apart. They made him closer. Try to make him look a little bit more human.
Our alien overlords are not happy with the representation.
Yeah,
it was just a small observation. It's just that we talk about how awful most leaders are. And, you know, on the atheist, the Bible, and the wardrobe, God's biggest offenses, biggest ego crap ton of things happen in the Old Testament, really, for the most part. And as you look at God and how tyrannical he is, I just go, you know, you can't look at that and not just see that this is something that was written by men. And because this is how mankind acts, how debauched mankind act when they have absolute power. The God of the Bible is like popes. It's like Whaley, you know, in North Carolina. It's like Pat Robertson. When you look at these people, you see God as the Christianity presents it. And not just Christianity, obviously. There's other religions that the gods are debauched, you know. It's us trying to understand the world around us, and we're doing it. And religion does such a piss poor job of it.
Kill the Pope.
This one's already dead, I'm sure.
Fuck the motherfucker.
Fuck the motherfucker.
I mean,
for a start, maybe.
It saddens me. I mean, society just believes just the worst worst things, and they make every excuse in the world just so they can keep believing the nonsense bullshit they were frightened into believing in the first place.
Exactly.
Well, they want the carrot at the end. They want heaven and peace and all of the reasons why life down here sucks to make sense.
Right.
Maybe, I don't know, some kind of reward.
I just don't understand how it makes sense.
I don't know.
No.
So, especially when they hide all the child abuse and sexual abuse. Mm-hmm. When they outright hide it, they came out and said, "Oh, we hid it."
Yeah.
You know, forgive us. No, why don't forgive them. Stop forgiving them. That's unforgivable.
Yep.
You know, Catholicism should have crumbled.
Oh, it should have. I think Catholicism should have crumbled years ago. When this kind of shit was going down, they should have said, "Hey, I think you guys need to rethink all this bullshit." But the fact is that they didn't because of power. They had the power, and everybody was afraid of going to hell.
Yeah.
How are we going to lead ourselves if these people who speak for God, we lock them up?
I mean, kids believe in God because they were frightened into it. Adults believe it because they were promised bullshit.
Well, and kids continue to believe long after they've given up fairy tales because, you know, adults don't take them to church to talk about Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny, but they do take them to some place every week that has a holy man standing up there, and they have songs, and they stand up, sit down, fight, they pray, and they do all this stuff about this thing, and they see their mom and dad do it, they see their aunts and uncles do it, and
they think it's a normal.
And this is the thing that you have to continue to believe in, and that's why Christianity, for one, wants to be insular. And have it be that you go to, you know, don't send your kids to college unless it's a Christian college because they might hear something different. I hate to end on a sad note, but Catholic Church is part of the reason that we have Christianity today.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Well, I don't know anybody who went to a Catholic school who's not an atheist. So
that's interesting. You're
doing something right.
Well, woohoo. Okay.
Well, I was just in fact, I think I was responding to Fish Head Salad. I had to go to church.
Mm-hmm.
Now they took me to church and they dropped me off at church. You know, nobody said I had to go inside, but you know, I was a kid. I'm there. I go inside, and I got like kicked out of Sunday school at age 10. I still had to keep going to church, but my parents did not go to church. I still think my father's an atheist. I mean, he grew up Jewish in World War II. He's actually in a concentration camp. But they didn't go to church. My mom, my stepmom, my dad, nobody went to church. They only went to church on special occasions and when we went to go visit family who was very religious. And I got kicked out of the church I was going to, so I had to go to a different church. I went with my other sisters. And I was always amazed that they just assumed I would believe.
Yeah.
And I have four sisters and they all believe, so I'm obviously, I guess, you know, 4 out of 5. But they just assumed, yeah, you went to church, you were taught to believe, therefore you will believe. And I went to all these different churches, got told different stories by each one, and they all said they were right. And I was like, this is all bullshit. And I'm trying to do the same thing for my daughter, though I'm proactive in it, that I'm taking her to church because I want her to see what religion actually is.
Right.
It's a bunch of stories and fear tactics, and they're telling you something that they cannot back up, but they keep telling you it as if it were true, that eventually you start believing that it's true.
Yeah.
So I'm taking her to different churches. So, and I'm telling her, it's like, yeah, they tell you, but you know, what do they tell you to make you believe it's true? And keep her thinking, why should I believe it?
Oh, that's good.
I'm not trying to convince her that God's not real. I'm not trying to convince her of anything. I'm just wanting her to be a critical thinker. I want her to keep asking, why should I believe this is true?
Right.
My two youngest, they still wanted to, attend church after I was deconverted, and I was like, okay, I'll take you to church. And my daughter, especially, she came out of the, you know, the sixth grade, she was 12 years old, and said, I'm a Christian. My, you know, that was the big push in the church we were going to. This teacher actually did the whole sinner's prayer thing, and I said, okay, well, what does that mean? You know, I just asked a lot of questions and asked him how is that true? You know, what do you think about this? And again, my kids, they're, you know, now 18 and 20, or 19 and 21. And if they want to explore religion on their own, I'm like, okay, you know, I'm not going to control that, but I'm going to ask questions. I'm going to stay engaged and ask them questions because I think that it's good to explore that. You know, you're gonna encounter that, and the more that you explore the questions and the things that are presented to you as you meet people, the better you're able to counter that or figure out how you think about it.
Right. All right. Well, we got to get out of here. I want to thank everybody for coming to the chat room and joining us. And that was our Pope on a Rope for this week. It was Pope Benedict the Ninth. So yeah, these popes are garbage. So don't listen to these people. They don't speak for their imaginary sky wizard. They just speak for themselves. We'll see you next week and come to our midweek show at 5 p.m. Central Time on Wednesdays. And again, check out our secondary podcast, The Atheist, The Bible, and No Wardrobe. We'll see you then. This has been Packard Pokes at We Just Poke at Your News.
And that's a wrap.